welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. I'm Tom.
And that would make me Mike.
What kind of day did you have, Mike?
I had a long, fucking tiring day. It's been just not necessarily raining hard, but spritzing all day long. And I was outside putting up fence and barbed wire and putting in fence posts. And I feel like rolled over with a tractor and, you know, beat with a pitchfork. That's about what I feel like right now.
Man, I'll bet you sleep like a fucking baby tonight, though.
I'm thinking I might fall asleep now. I mean, I'm gonna try. You might have to carry the load this time because I'm gonna be like, I mean, all by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. All by myself.
I was all by myself.
Mike, no one was looking. Yeah, I was doing a podcast. Oh man, I had a shit day. I got up real early, and last night I had to take my cat to the vet because she wasn't eating or drinking. She was acting really sluggish. This is Peanutty Buddy.
My Peanutty Buddy, yep.
Yeah, Peanuts. So she wasn't feeling well. So we took her to the vet last night, and they said, hey, well, her fluids aren't bad, and her gums look fine, her eyes look fine, her nose, everything, her mucous membranes are the healthy shade of pink. Only thing that's a little off is her body temperature's up by about a degree. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that could be because she's upset. So they gave us some meds and injected some fluid into her. To keep her hydrated and send her home. Well, she just laid with us all night in the bed, which she never does. Mm-hmm. And then in the morning she got up and hung out in the bathtub till about 1 o'clock, when finally I was like, you know what? It's time to do something about this. So, I called the vet and they said, yeah, take her to an animal hospital. It's just to be on the safe side. So we took her to the animal hospital in Lancaster, which is about a 40-minute drive from us. Mm-hmm. Got there at 1 o'clock, and I sat in that car until 7 o'clock. Just sat in that fucking car. I took walks around the block. I went and got us a snack. Later, I went and got us dinner because we were just sitting there for, it was interminable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I hear you. You say you had a bad day. I had a bad day too, but an entirely opposite way from you, whereas yours was just intense, heavy manual labor. Mine was like the dark night of the soul, just sitting in this fucking car.
I don't deal well with those either.
No, it was bad. And I couldn't distract myself because I'm beside myself with worry. So it's not like I could. Yeah. I tried to watch some MST3K on Pluto TV, who still doesn't want to return my phone calls. I keep asking them if we could have them as a sponsor, and they just ignore me.
Guys, I have been towing your line for months.
I know. Well,
months.
A month at least, yes.
Shut up, it's months.
At least a month. Yeah, get with it, guys. Come on.
Good Lord. Just throw me some swag. Do something.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a tough day. The only real entertainment I got out of the day is when I went to take a walk, one of like two or three walks that I went to take, there was this guy riding his bicycle down a one-way street the wrong way, kicked up into a wheelie at like a 45-degree, 50-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
You know, and not looking where he's going at all, not wearing a helmet. And then just drifting across lanes. And I'm like, oh, this kid's going to get himself killed. This kid's going to crack his fucking skull open, and I'm going to stand here and watch it. But what are you going to do, man? I mean, tell that kid, hey, kid, what am I going to do? Say, hey, dude, you're being stupid. Stop. He's going to be like, fuck you, old head, you know?
And then splat.
Get hit by something because he's not paying attention. Yep. Yep. I would not be doing him any favors by trying to tell him.
I love watching stupid people do stupid shit like that. And yeah, it does beg the question, what exactly do you do about it? And I guess 90% of the time I'm like, well, I either try to get ahead of them or I try to stay way behind so that way I don't get hit by any of the body parts when they do get slammed.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's one or the other is the only way that I would typically, you know, go about it. More than likely, I try to get ahead of them. That way all that shit. I can look in the rearview mirror and see the fireball, you know, go flying upwards. And
basically, it helps to be prepared as if you're going to a Gallagher show. You need like
start wearing a poncho everywhere.
yeah, just a plastic wrap, ready at the ready, always prepared. You know,
that reminds me of a story that when I was in the automotive technology vocational program, we had a teacher's aide that was in there, and he was, I don't know, probably in his mid 50s. And the guy had like part of his hand like cut off and shit. So obviously a good, you know, example for the kids, like, don't do this with your hands.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was driving down the freeway one time and like traffic all of a sudden came to a standstill and I saw something go flying through the air after this girl had passed me in a convertible and here was her head.
Holy shit.
And I was like, what? I don't know if I believe that. Wow. I'm like, this girl's head just fucking flew through the air and happened to make its way exactly past you when she went ripping past you minutes beforehand. I'm like, that head must have had some serious hang time.
Yeah,
maybe, right. Maybe just like in a video game or something, a bird swooped down and grabbed a hold of her hair and then was like, oh, wait, this isn't a fish, and then dropped it. I don't know.
How did her head become attached from her body in the first place?
I'm assuming it was a car accident, and she got her head cut off by something. Gotcha. And, gotcha. You know, I told that story really poorly, but I think I got the point across.
You did a good job, Mike. You're doing great. You're doing good.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're fine, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness.
So I sent you some videos.
Yes.
And I'm going to link them on dembeans.biz, which is our website, because this is something I'd love to hear other people's opinions on. I always ask for people's opinions, but on this one, I'm seriously, I want to know what you think. So I want you guys all to watch these videos. So the first one is just an SNL video, and it's like a dating app type of a thing for desperate people. And it's like, how low will you go? And I just loved it because there's this one guy who's like, I am Townsend. And I have big titty centaur babes.
he was talking about what he invented a game similar to chess, but instead of the other players, it has like well endowed something, and then like, yeah, big titty centaur babes on the other side or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. It's really funny. And like all the girls, of course, are like, I don't care, whatever. I'll take him. But then I sort of dug around.
Well, you have to go with the premise of it too. The premise of it was that it was the end of quarantine, right, and it was a dating show. So these girls had been alone for, you know, conceivably months, and just wanted to get laid. That was it. So that's how the whole dating game came about.
Yeah, and I should have said that. I sort of got ahead of myself because I was so excited about the next video I found. So this first one was shared to me by a friend, and then I did some digging around. I'm like, well, SNL did a whole episode remotely with each actor or actress being in their own homes and in front of green screens and stuff, and they had editors put them all together. And that included Tom Hanks, who is recording clearly in front of a green screen. He's in a small kitchen. I mean, this is a millionaire, okay, multi-millionaire. And he's got a kitchen that looks like it would be a small home. Like
I was going to say, maybe he just doesn't cook a whole lot, so it's just there out of necessity, but it definitely was a green screen.
Yeah, he's absolutely almost demonstrably in front of a green screen. Anyone who's ever worked in green screen can immediately spot it. Anyone who's ever seen a fucking green screen video can probably spot it. But what's really interesting is how people's prejudice of thought in terms of what information goes through their brains will make them see things that aren't there, because the comment section is a fucking nightmare.
It's a virtual cornucopia of conspiracy theories, general nonsense.
It's incredible.
It really was something, I gotta tell you, because I had to stop reading at a certain point because I could literally feel my IQ dropping as I was sitting there looking at it, because some of it was so crazy. I will say one thing, though. Comedy like that is not meant to be done in a vacuum. Like, there's nobody there to laugh. There's nobody there to play off of. It's so dry. It's not even funny. The only person I've seen pull it off is, well, and even he has guests, so there, you know, there are two, is David Spade. He's the only person I've seen pull off this quarantine comedy stuff with any kind of watchability.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they tried, definitely.
Although the dating game thing was pretty funny. I just mean, like, well, Tom Hanks came off as very robotic, and
it was very awkward. It was extremely awkward. Yeah. It's like, am I really doing this, guys? Like, this is lame. This isn't funny. Like, how can you play a crowd or act like you're playing a crowd when there's no crowd? Yeah, I don't care how good of an actor you are. You've had no time to prepare. You've just got over a major illness. Mm-hmm. But see, here we go. Here's the rabbit hole. We're sinking into it now because I'm going to start bringing some of this shit out. I want to preface all this, however, by saying that my brother, who works in Hollywood as a sound guy, gets to go to these like technology shows and stuff. And he was telling me about some of this cool technology. And one of the technologies is that if you can record enough of a person's voice, and this is 100% real, mm-hmm. and it helps if you can get their voice in different inflections, like happy, sad, angry, neutral, that kind of thing, the machine will begin to learn their voice so well that after about maybe 45 minutes to an hour's worth of feed, or rather of information fed into it, it can accurately replicate that voice completely to the point where it fools a human ear. It probably wouldn't trick a computer, but it would definitely trick a person.
And voice actors are going to be in trouble in the future.
Voice actors are going to be in a lot of trouble. But anyone like an actor, like, say, Tom Hanks, for example, you could build up a really solid voice based on the voice print that you get from this thing. It's like bleeding edge technology. It's brand new and super cool. I don't know what it's called. But then there's the deep fake, which many people listening to this probably already know about. Deepfake is this technology. It's a sort of a really advanced kind of tracking shot where you digitally mark places on the face with an actor or with just a pre-existing footage. Mm-hmm. And then you overlay with computer graphics and tracking algorithms, you overlay someone else's face and map it to that face. So when their mouth moves, the fake mouth moves, and it becomes a digital mask that is, they're getting better and better. They're still creepy. They're still in the uncanny valley, but they're getting better all the time.
The uncanny valley. I think I visited there once.
Do you know what the Uncanny Valley is?
No, I have no fucking idea.
Okay. The Uncanny Valley, in a nutshell, is basically, say there's a curve between something that's completely machine-like to 100% machine, like a spring, okay? As basic as it gets. That's the bottom left corner of the graph. Top right corner of the graph is a perfect amalgamation of a human being. I'm sorry, a human being. Just a normal, regular human being. Mm-hmm. As you start to slide up this scale from 0 to 100, you get, okay, so little tinker toy. Oh, this thing sort of looks like, okay, this is like a robot with mechanical arms and feet. At a certain point, it hits this point where instead of continuing to rise in terms of how comfortable humans are with it, it drops dramatically right near the end. It's called the Uncanny Valley. There's just this spot where human beings, when we are confronted with something that's meant to look human but is not human, it tweaks us out. It sets something off in our heads that freaks us the fuck out. A great example might be like Really,
the iRobot movie.
Sure, that's a great example. iRobot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah, stuff like that, or like, you know, some other early CG that you would see where it's like people just didn't like to look at it. It freaks them out.
the Jabba the Hutt extended scenes in the fucking the worst CGI I've ever seen.
But it's worse than that. Like, I'd have to show you some pictures to really
that obviously isn't the worst CGI I've ever seen. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, in terms of it, it's not just that it's bad; it's that it makes you deeply uncomfortable, profoundly upset, and it's just something is off. But it's so close to human, you can't quite tell what the offness is. So, like some of these modern robots with human-like faces, those types.
Yeah, that shit creeps me out.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It really creeps me out.
That's the uncanny valley. So people are seeing Tom Hanks, and they're like. They're saying, oh, well, he's in Gitmo, or he's dead. Yeah, this is an actor in front of a green screen, and they're deep faking it and tracking his voice out. So it's like, is that possible? Yeah. I can't see the gain. I don't see any political strategy behind doing that at all, telling people that Tom Hanks is not only doing well, but is in fact doing Saturday Night Live this week. If you're trying to promote a business as usual thing, maybe, but the whole thing is too conspiracy to me. I think Tom Hanks dying, I'm thinking that getting out the day it happens, like someone's
going to
take it. It's not like there's armed guards standing there. But see, now you go into this and they've got, let me read some comments. Because I'm getting off in 100 directions.
I was going to say, I can't tell you that there was one comment that made mention of what the heck is going on with his neck. And unfortunately, I didn't have the patience to sit there and stare at his neck the entire time because I was getting caught by other things that were happening around me. So that might be worth a look.
Yeah, might be worth a second look, but... I don't think that his neck was glitching out. I think it was just the green screen, probably.
I mean, probably wasn't lit right.
It probably wasn't lit right.
I mean, it's funny. Sorry, go ahead.
He doesn't have to. I don't know if he's ever directed or anything, but I'm sure he's never had to light a scene. He probably had to be directed over Zoom by some technician. It's like, all right, that looks good. Hold the light meter here. You know, so it's probably not the best capture. I mean. Again, we could go on that for a while, but I want to actually get people to hear what other people said, because right now all I'm saying is what I observed. So one guy says, I came here for the comment from people who've woken up. Keep fighting the good fight. Me too. Expose their adrenochrome drinking pedo asses. So many waking it gives me hope. Some of us have been alone in this rabbit hole for many, many moons.
The adrenochrome thing. I just can't even. I can't even fucking.
I mean, we talked about that.
Yeah.
10 episodes, 15 episodes ago, I think. Adrenochrome and
yep.
Whatever else. Hot dogs. I seem to remember something about hot dogs. But okay, so yeah. So let's see here. He said, "Don't mind my hair. I'm shooting a movie. I'm sorry, but aren't you in quarantine? LOL. TikTok."
Maybe he's shooting that movie via green screen from a very poorly lit kitchen.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah.
I have to say, while you're reading through that, I wanted to say that I did a Zoom meeting earlier today, and I had made mention of that to you. And one of the things that it offers you when you're doing, well, I guess however we were doing this meeting, it might be different from the way that we record these. Because we don't use the camera, and it gave me the option of using a background. And like, I pulled up a picture out of my camera roll of like the trees and stuff around where I was working today and a few days ago. And when it put it up behind me, it made everything go like backwards. So if I leaned to the left, it would push me to the right and everything. It fucked me up so bad I couldn't even look at it. I had to turn it off. I was like, no, this is not going to work. I can't do this. So I wonder if Mr. Hanks was running into a similar situation.
I don't know. Why is he not wearing his wedding ring? Why do his hands look so young? Why did he shave his head for a movie if all filming has been halted for the time being? Someone says that Tom has been arrested. Let's see here.
His hands do look incredibly well moisturized.
Something here. Wasn't Hanks best friends with Jeffrey Epstein? Someone here says, nothing to see here, just evil pedo Tom.
Yeah, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's part of the whole Pizzagate thing. You know.
You know what? I never even looked far enough into that to even know that.
It says, yep, definitely arrested, shaved head, green screen, word in hand, gesture codes that is not a multi-million dollars kitchen, LOL. Missing pizza and pasta, Tom? Why would they let him do a show if he'd been arrested? To maintain appearances, to try and ruin credibility of folks peddling the theory that he's dead or arrested. Why would he be arrested? What for what?
I just think that people are getting so bored in quarantine that they're willing to throw a conspiracy at literally anything.
Anything.
And there's always, 10,000 people that will pick up on that and run with it.
Well, and we're already talking about something that it's really like most conspiracy theory, in my experience, is mostly someone who has way too much time on their hands and way too much paranoia in their mind at the same time, digging around too fucking much and not coming up for air often enough. And that's how you get these things. I mean, there are so many wacky fucking conspiracy theories out there. And here's the problem with that. The real problem with that is that they're demonstrably true conspiracies against us happening all the time that we see on the news every day. And everyone says it. Everyone is like, yeah, this, that, the other thing. Well, it seems to be universally true that everyone agrees on it, even if they don't agree with things politically, like the government's corrupt or something like that, like taxes are bullshit or whatever. You know, some well-held maxim that most people agree with, even if they're on different sides of the political fence. You know, something like that. But when you've got the conspiracy theory stuff, it's like this really niche. Like, it's so specialized. Like, okay, so aliens from Zeta Reticuli, which look a little bit like bald heads and slanty eyes, they're in it with these reptilians, and they're from like Omegacron or something like that, and they're the masterminds. But then there's the mantis beings, but they're actually from another dimension, not another planet, but they sort of act as the masterminds over the reptilians, and the reptilians worship them as gods. But then there's the grays, which are really like a hybrid species, and they're mostly machines. And then there's the Nordics, who come from where is that, they come from like Dagon, the dog star, Sirius. Yeah, so they come from there, and so do the Dagons, who reportedly were visiting us well before any of the other beings, including the chrysalids.
I knew you knew so much about aliens. I told you, and you're like, oh, I don't. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I've done a bit of reading. And there are different ways of painting this. So some people say, oh, they're horrible monsters. Other people paint them as beings of glorious light and being light workers and all this stuff. It branches and bifurcates and twists around, and that's just the aliens. That's just one. You want to get started on someone who has read too much about the Illuminati? Man, that gets deep too. That gets crazy deep. And these people, the thing is they're absolutely convinced what they're talking about is 100% legit. And there's no way to talk them out of that. Because they are, and here's where it gets bad. This is where the confirmation bias becomes a machine that just self-replicates. Well, you know, you're a sheep because you don't think for yourself, man. You don't think for yourself. You're a sheep.
I actually...
Wake up, sheeple.
I do think for myself. How do you argue with that? I don't know. Because I'd like to say, like, I do think for myself. And one thing that I do is I don't think about this kind of horse shit that has nothing to do with me.
or reality.
Yeah, you know, or reality in general. I mean, I don't worry about whether that was really Tom Hanks or not. If it wasn't, I'm sorry for whatever happened to you, Mr. Hanks.
Yeah.
If it was him, I don't know. You were acting really fucking weird, and that was a little off-putting. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, yeah. It was outside uncomfortable, that, dude.
We'll get done talking about this, and I won't even think about it again.
It was uncomfortable for sure, but it doesn't matter really. Like, what if all that's true? What's it gonna? What am I gonna do? Like, oh, I've been awoken. Now what? There's a whole cabal that's against me that's super powerful. What the fuck am I gonna do?
I really feel like if that is true and you believe that to be true, it's going to turn you into somebody who can never look at anything.
Right.
Without giving it some side eye and going, wait a second.
Right.
Is that really my cat that I pet this morning?
Right.
Or was that a cat put there by the deep state? And you know, something ridiculous like that.
And that's how people lose their grip of reality entirely and become effectively clinically insane.
Mm-hmm.
A total detachment from reality to the point where they cannot tell their own delusions from reality anymore. And their reality is replaced with some kind of illusion. It's just, it's. I mean, we all live in a house of mirrors. Every single one of us.
Yeah, I do have a lot of mirrors in my house. It's true.
And we're all kind of we all live in under a certain shroud of illusions. But I can always produce facts and actual scientific data that's been peer-reviewed and studied broadly to back up what I'm talking about, where all these people have is anecdotal evidence, third-hand witness accounts, or first-hand witness accounts from people who are now dead, who you cannot get updates on. And it's too much information. Like I was just saying, how do they know these aliens are from Zephyr Ganuvi or Sirius B or whatever? How do they fucking know all this shit? And there's a why are we privy to it? If you think about an alien, it'd be like if I, a human being, want to water my lawn, I'm not going to tell the ants first. I'm just going to water my lawn. Because it's my fucking lawn.
I like to go outside and yell a warning to everything first. Hey, I'm about to water the grass. And then animals are like, does he mean literally water? Or is he just coming out here to piss on something? And it's probably the latter.
Probably.
Yeah, because I mean, I pee on stuff. It's what I do.
Well, I read a really good quote on Reddit today. Someone said that, of course, I can't get the thing open. It's hard to win. It's hard to win an argument with a smart person, but it's impossible to win an argument against a stupid person.
That's pretty true, because no matter what you do,
you know, I'm taking that quote and running with it.
It's going to end up the same. Nothing you say is right, and
right.
There's no proof good enough to fucking prove anything, you know, to their satisfaction. It's unfortunate, but that's the way of the world.
But here's the thing, man. The reality is that even smart people are not immune to that. Cognitive bias and confirmation bias, those two things exist in all of us. We can't really help it. We're hardwired to assume that the information we have is right. Though really the only thing you can do is to develop a belief system, if you want to counter this at all, in my opinion. But this is totally my opinion. But you need to enfold within your belief system a checks and balances that when new evidence comes in, you're willing to reevaluate everything that you already previously took for granted against new evidence. If you're capable of doing that, your belief system's flexible. It's not going to become fragile and break when something really big happens. It's more capable of growth and expansion and going, oh, okay, all right, well, I can reconcile this. So there's that. The other thing, though, I think is the ability to recognize that you might be totally wrong about all your assumptions and that it may be worthwhile to challenge your own assumptions as much as you challenge everyone else's. What the fuck do I actually know? Not much, really. I make a great point of talking all these ideas, but to quote Joe Rogan, I'm going to steal this joke from Joe Rogan.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a smart person. I just memorized what smart people said. And it's the truth. It's actually true. Almost everything intelligent that comes out of my mouth has been in some way
it's been in somebody else's mouth, you dirty fucking whore.
I'd chew, and it's already been well chewed by that point as well.
It's ABC knowledge.
All I'm doing is just re-articulating it to people and sounding like I'm smart, but I'm not smart. I'm just a guy. You know, I think if people think that I'm smart, I think it's because most people think of themselves as not as smart as they should be thinking of themselves. I think people are smarter than they give themselves credit for. And I
say that all the time.
And I think that because of that, I think that they tend to have low self-esteems and think that their opinions are not valued. And I really think that and that's what I'm saying to my listeners right now. I want to hear from you. I know some of you guys are shy. I know you're listening. I love you guys. I want to hear from you. Storytime with Tom and Mike at gmail.com or hit us up with the contact form on dembeans.biz. You don't have to put an email address in. If you don't want your name read on the air, I swear we won't name it. Just tell us what you want to hear, what you want to know, what questions you have. On that note,
I got to say, before we finish this off, I miss the days of my blind ignorance to things when all I had was an outdated set of Collier's Encyclopedia and no internet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there was no room in the Collier's Encyclopedia for deep
opinion.
Opinion. Yeah, really. But like a deep fake coverage of Tom Hanks.
Maybe they got to the Collier's Encyclopedia before I did in their time machine. And that fucking report that I wrote on stingrays was totally not right. Son of a bitch.
Man.
Actually, I got a good grade on that. Anyways. I stayed up all night like writing it. So I thought I fell asleep. And then like I woke up and I'm like, oh my God, Mom, I don't have it done. And she quick helped me to type it up. And I ended up getting a pretty good grade on it. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Some of the best work I've ever turned in, like some of the best schoolwork I ever turned in was done at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something about certain types of brains that when they go into crisis mode, they just work better. I don't know what that is, but it's definitely the case with me. I feel like I would be a good, like war room type of a guy. Like, okay, we got 15 minutes to figure this out. Let's move. I'd be stressed as fuck all the time, but in that 15 minutes, I'd be in my moment, you know? Because that's how it was when I was at an operator at my one job, my computer operator. When a system down came about, there was like there was no time to think. There was protocols and documentation which I had written for everything. Mm-hmm. So all I had to do was just follow those instructions and everything went fucking perfectly. One day I was by myself and a fire alarm went off and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. This is like a Saturday. And so I grabbed the bug out bag and I grabbed the walkies and the book and everything. And I charge outside, call my boss, be like, hey, yeah, there's a fire alarm. All right, I'm heading out. All right, I've got the bag, got everything. I'm outside the building. He's like, all right, stay there. This fucking guy from lighting and engineering or whatever comes waltzing around the fucking corner. I'm like, were you in the building? He's like, Yeah. Sorry, I fucked up, man. I knocked the sprinkler head off the wall. Like, I was supposed to know whether or not anyone was in the building. You need to check in with me, dude. He's like, oh, fuck. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I'm like, well, don't leave now because my entire response team is headed here. He's like, all right. He hangs out. And he's like, at this point, it's like, well, he knows he's on film, you know, and he knows that he's fucking, you know, toast. Like, he's gonna get written up at best for this, you know. Probably reprimanded severely, and hopefully the guy didn't lose his job over it, but the fact that he didn't check in with security on any level was a big no-no. You know, that building is secure for a reason. It has all the research data for like entire, you know, hospital on it. Like, that's like insane amounts of money that could get lost if that building were to catch on fire.
Yeah.
And that guy, if that building caught on fire and that guy was in the building and I didn't know, he might have died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So, yeah, there were good reasons why I needed to know if someone was in my building.
So how much water damage did he end up causing because of that? It
flooded the basement entirely.
Like, if you and I know you have now, if you've ever seen what the fucking water looks like that comes out of a sprinkler system.
Oh, it's filth.
It is so gross. It makes you, like, wonder, how does water that's oily and everything actually put out a fire? Because it seems like it might actually help the fire a little bit.
Yeah, that's really funny because a lot of people, I did not know that until I went down there. It was like this water was like black and had shit floating in it.
Yeah.
It was like
and it literally is oily and stuff. It's disgusting and it stinks.
Yeah, it's just the most, I don't understand why it's even that bad. It's almost like they intentionally found the worst water they could use.
Well, the thing of it is if you don't periodically have your system flushed, and even if you do, that water could be, if you have an annual flush done on your sprinkler system, and I know this because I worked in and around this stuff for so long, even at a if you have a yearly time where they go through and drain the low points and make sure that everything's working the way that it should, at the minimum you've probably got water that's sitting in pipes and getting stagnant.
Yeah,
for a year, moving. Yeah. You know, it's just sitting there. If you're lucky, it just sits there. It never comes out. And even if they do drain some of it off or something like that, it still doesn't ever fully drain off until one of those heads is activated. And then when that happens, it's like fucking dinosaur juice. Ugh. Pouring out of there. And I'm not talking crude oil. I'm talking like stanky, filthy, stagnant water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ripping out of one of these things at like 600 miles an hour and blasting everything. The cleanup is ridiculous.
Yeah, it was, and it fucking stank. It smelled so fucking bad down there.
I saw sprinkler heads get broken twice, only twice, thankfully, and both times it was just, oh my, it was stomach wrenching to even smell it and look at it. I'm like, well, this must be what it's like when a gigantic sewer pipe full of fecal matter just breaks open.
Oh, I think that's way worse, man.
I'm sure it is. I'm just, you know.
I think at a certain point, the smell can become so overwhelming that your fucking nervous system just shuts down for that part of your brain. Like, fuck smelling. I'm done.
I know that every time they come and pump down my septic tank, the one time I swear that one of the hoses had a leak in it and it stank around here for like quite a while. And yeah, I became immune to the stink after a while. Like I said, I'm like, I don't smell it anymore. And somebody, one of my family members, and they're like, yeah, I can still smell it. And I was like, oh, I don't know why, but all right, I guess, you know, it's the way that it works. Yeah, your brain shuts off the stink so you don't catch it anymore.
Yeah, I guess after a while, if you work in that kind of environment, you just become immune to it. Well, you know, I say that, but you know, I've heard that you never get used to it, like especially if you're like a homicide detective or like work as a as a coroner or something like that, like something that's in full rot. Like that's not something that you ever get used to, that smell.
I know somebody who did work, I believe it's maybe helping somehow or another with the coroner, and the smell of the formaldehyde and stuff and the other things that they would use to block the smell and everything, such as, you know, putting Vicks under their nose and stuff, actually burned her sense of smell out.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. To the
extent that she couldn't smell, like you could fart around her and she couldn't smell it at all.
Wow.
Which was unfortunate because she was still getting the benefit of breathing in little fecal particles, but just wasn't experiencing the full range of bouquet of a fart.
I know that breaks your heart.
And taste. Oh, man, trust me. I take pride in my flatulence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You said like
yeah, it wasn't like, the way you
I'm thinking about tasting that.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
But tongue punch my fart box.
You are demented and confused, sir. I am a lover of strange media, and I know you are too.
Yeah.
And our friend Jimmy sent us something today.
I wouldn't call this strange shit. I would call this fucking beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic, but it's you must concede it's strange and unusual because you don't see something like this every day. This is called I Want a Bear by the musician Daddy B, who I got to say, as a mostly straight man, I got to say, he's a good-looking dude. He's got like a Nick Offerman thing going on, sort of.
But he's a professional
wrestler look that he's got going on. He's a handsome fucking cat, you know?
The whole thing was beautifully choreographed. I mean, I'm not much into, like, dance music like that, but I gotta say, I was tapping my toes to it and everything, and it was enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like, it's just innocent fun, you know? It's like, it's the big gay guy, big masculine gay guy's version of I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie. It's a fun song. If you were in the club, you know you'd be dancing to that shit.
Hell yeah.
If you're the type to go to a club anyway, I've never been a clubber myself.
Yeah, I mean, no, I've never once been to a dance club in my life. Dancing is not my thing.
Nope.
However, I assume if I was at the club, the reason for that would be because I was probably drinking and somebody was like, hey, let's go. And I was like, okay. You know, so I would definitely be dancing in that case. I am absolutely certain of it. And shamelessly dancing. Yeah. You know, I would have no issue with that. And I'm going to tell you that 9 times out of 10, if I'm drinking that much and I'm going to a dance club, it's probably a gay club also.
Probably.
I'm going to throw that out there.
I'm going to say is that for the sanctity of your relationship with your partner, as it stands, you don't take ecstasy and then go to one of those clubs. You will find things out about yourself that even you don't know.
Well, yeah, I steer clear of that stuff just in general. So I don't see that as being a possibility. But, you know, good advice nonetheless.
A lot of what I did was psychedelics. I've tried party drugs. None of them really did anything for me. For me, it was always psychedelics because I wanted to see weird shit. I wanted to experience something that maybe no one else has ever experienced, or only like a handful of people may have experienced anything like. And the psychedelic experience is like that, in that if you take something like mushrooms in a large enough dose that you sort of depart from reality as we understand it, you're going to see something no one else has ever seen before or ever will see again. Something profound. It might be terrifying. It might be awe-inspiring. It might be a fucking religious experience. Or it might be the scariest single moment of your life, but you never come away with it without learning something about yourself. Sometimes it takes many years to reconcile that and figure out what it is that you learned. But I have been to places of immense healing, places of immense pain. I've lived other lives. You know, this shit is real. And it makes me upset that people are first so afraid of it that they would judge me unfairly and say, well, that guy's a nutcase for trying that stuff. And secondly, that it's not more widely studied, because the thing about this is that there is an agency called MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. And they're, I don't know where they're based out of, but they've got offices everywhere, and they're studying like MDMA and couples therapy. They're studying the use of a plant drug called ibogaine, which can be found in Africa, which when applied to someone with an opiate addiction can break it within 1 to 2 uses under clinical or shamanic settings. Generally, they try to wrap shamanic culture into it, because a lot of times it's very deeply entwined with the use of these drugs. And I don't like calling them drugs, but you know, that's what they're classified as.
Yeah.
They're more like potions. They're some of these things are like ancient tribal recipes, like ayahuasca, for example. South American yahe or ayahuasca is this admixture of a plant vine, like a vine and a leaf. And they boil these two things down for hours and hours, and then they reduce it, and then they pour it into something, and they reduce it some more. And finally, it becomes this thick, frothy brew that when you drink it, makes you puke your guts out and then trip for like 16 hours. And the whole time these guys are singing to you and you're seeing the song. And the thing that's really interesting is people who have come from different parts of the world who were unrelated, didn't know each other beforehand, would share mm-hmm. their experiences afterwards, say, oh, it's really interesting how the blue triangle moves when he does that. And everybody's like, yeah, I thought so too. I thought I was the only person seeing that, you know, like shit like that. What's most fascinating about this combination of the thing, branch and the leaf, is that one contains dimethyltryptamine, which is produced endogenously in our brain and is also endogenously. I can't remember. I think I got that word wrong. I don't think it's androgynous.
I don't know. I mean, I was going with it. I had no idea.
It's not androgynous. Certainly it is not. That is definitely the wrong fucking word. But it's produced within the brain, in the pineal gland, I think, or something like that. And it comes into play in dreams, and they believe it gets flooded into our brains when we're dying as well, which is really interesting considering that when you take DMT in any form, it tends to bring you to intense religious experience type hallucinations. So the one plant has this this compound, dimethyltryptamine, in it. The other compound that's found in the other plant is an MAOI, monooxidase inhibitor or something like that. Now, when you put dimethyltryptamine in a plant form directly into your body, your stomach eats it up so fast that it can't actually get into the bloodstream. It just burns it right up. If you put an MAOI in there with it, then the stomach acids are quelled enough so that this stuff can get into your bloodstream and begin to have a psychoactive effect. If you were to ask the shaman how they came up with this in a pre-literate culture, 10,000, maybe 15,000 BC, that they came up with this shit and mm-hmm. have had it in common use ever since, if you ask them how they did it, they will tell you the plants told them how to do it.
Hmm.
Now, what the fuck does that mean? What does that fucking mean? But explain to me how they came up with this shit. I mean, there's so much trial and error. They had to boil it at exactly the right temperature for exactly so many hours and then do a thing with it and then continue to boil. Like, it's not like a simple process. It's not like – it's a goddamn potion that they're brewing.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's, I don't know. That's a crazy explanation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's a shaman for you. Shaman are interesting because they like to sort of – part of their job is to play act. They're kind of like the chief – the head joker of the tribe. Many times in Aboriginal culture, you'll hear of a jokester character that gets brought up as a god, who someone in a mask will dance and parade and cavort and get the people laughing. And that is supposed to be a very important precursor to a mass spiritual experience, like a ritual dance or something like that. Hmm. So that sort of archetype is actually really common in indigenous cultures.
You almost said androgynous again.
Again, I did. Yes, I don't know why that word is stuck in my head. I swear I wasn't thinking about Billy Joel. No, because I wouldn't have been thinking about Billy Joel. I would be thinking about Boy George.
Yeah.
although in more recent years, Boy George looks a bit like a boy who was painted as an Easter egg. Do you know what the Mandela effect is?
No, made me think of it. You explained this to me literally like 2 days ago, and I can't remember already.
I did? No,
yes,
I didn't.
You did. Yes, you did.
All right, the Mandela effect.
I swear to God, you just talked about it in the last episode, I'm telling you. I'm a dingus. I just don't remember.
In 2010, this shared false memory phenomenon was dubbed the Mandela effect by self-described paranormal consultant Fiona Bloom in reference to her false memory of the death of South African leader Nelson Mandela in the 1980s. He actually died in December 2013.
Yep.
So apparently the Mandela effect is, it's when people associate, like the Berenstain Bears spelled one way versus Berenstain Bears spelled the other way. People have false memories or memories, because memory is not reliable. It can rewrite itself really easily. And you can easily convince yourself that something was spelled one way when it was spelled the other way as a kid, and then go, oh, well, so here's their explanation, is that we jumped to another universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah. 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 We jumped to another fucking universe. Why? Because of the CERN. Ugh. Seriously, I can't make this up. They believe that CERN, the fucking super collider, the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, they believe...
Oh, I was thinking of George Michael, not Boy George. My bad.
Well, thanks for telling me now.
Yeah.
15 Oops. Fucking minutes later when I'm in the middle of a news story.
Sorry, I really felt like it needed to be thrown out
you
there.
You
know, just
so
you weren't
it.
Thinking the wrong person.
You just can't help it. You cannot help it. You are helpless to stop yourself from interjecting with the most useless information that's no longer relevant.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's very frustrating.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit anymore.
I'm not really sorry either, but you know.
I know you're not. I'm just not. I don't even know where I was in the Nelson Mandela thing. I feel like you weren't listening because you were trying to remember the name of the guy.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She thought that Nelson Mandela was dead and shared a memory with other people, and he really didn't die in the '80s and died in 2013. I got all that stuff.
Okay. But you weren't following the part that, okay, maybe I didn't get into it well enough, but basically the Mandela effect is this idea that people have memories from their childhood which are false. They're just not well remembered because memory is not reliable. It can rewrite itself pretty easily. And I feel like I've said all this before.
Maybe.
You know, it's just feeling a lot of samey. I'm thinking from the reader, from the listener's point of view, this is like, yeah, get on with it. So I'm just going to drop it. If you want to know what the Mandela effect is, look it up on Google. I'm crossing my arms and I'm going, fuck you. Episode 40 is next. It's going to be something different.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
That's fucking right. I am taking my ball and I'm going home. But hey, you know what? You know what, though? It's all right. It's all right.
Kind of has to be now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
I remember, oh my goodness, so many memories that I think were real, and I will ask my mom about something or I'll ask somebody else in my family about something and they'll go, no, that didn't happen. And I swear that, like, I remember when we lived in Philly, what our house looked like and everything. And I have no fucking idea how I would possibly know. Remember, because I was so young when we moved up here where we're at now, that it just, you know, that could all be explained by that. Although I believe that my memories from that were before the Mandela effect was discovered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But so the people who believe that's the part that I was trying to tell you before. When you decided to leap in with your sudden revelation, was that people who do believe that the Mandela effect is actually a legitimate phenomenon and not just false memory, believe that this happened because the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, the one that the big CERN project, the super collider, that has produced like evidence of the Higgs boson. That device split a wormhole that created a alternate timeline, and we're in it, and that's why we're remembering everything differently. And people, of course, have taken that and run with it and now say that we're in the worst timeline, and that's why all this shit is happening.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that maybe some of that stuff You know, there's a little bit of veracity to this being the worst timeline.
There is a bit,
right now, you know. So
there is a bit. Maybe there's something to it. We'll never know. You know, that's the thing. There's no way of knowing.
And somebody fire that bitch up again and see if you can get us into another one, would you?
Yeah. Can we go to the universe where everybody is happy and like all the really, really good food is that's good for you also tastes fucking awesome, and like
everything tastes like a double cheeseburger. That's good for you, or whatever you like,
and everyone's got awesome tits, everyone
including me.
Everyone,
I would never leave the house. If I had tits and could suck my own dick, I'd be at home all day long. I'd never go anywhere.
You'd get bored eventually. You'd have to
I don't know that I would. I mean, having given up masturbation all these years, I'm thinking if you can add an extra dimension to that, I don't know.
Would you titty fuck yourself?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, dude, I already was sucking my own dick. I mean, what more could I possibly do besides?
I'm laughing because I'm trying to picture the logistics of that, and I don't think that any spine can bend quite the way it needs.
I would just have to have a massive penis or massive breasts that were sagging. I mean, that's the logistics are right there. It's very simple.
Well, you don't want them to sag. They want to be perky, man.
Well, then I'm going to have a massive schlong.
I guess so. That'd be terrible. Like,
do your balls hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? You know, that whole thing. Yeah. I would be able to tie my balls in a knot or in a bow because I would literally have to stop myself from walking on them. Because as everything else got bigger, they would also get exponentially larger and they would be literally clacking off of everything.
Oh, well, you don't know
I couldn't
know
wear
that.
Shorts.
What if they got really small like marbles?
Well, I mean, that would solve the problem of me stepping on my balls and probably sitting on them. That would, that wouldn't be terrible.
No, I don't think it'd be so bad. Unless you're going to, you know, trying to procreate, I don't think it's really, you know.
Well, I mean, just because they were the size of marbles did not mean that they weren't functional.
Right. But I'm just saying, well, I don't know. I guess there's still room for plenty of sperm down there.
Yeah, I mean, and having like humongous, elongated, saggy balls they drag in the fucking toilet, and you go into the public toilet and your balls accidentally get away from you and fall into the water. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like a terrible thing to happen. I mean, if I ever got a splashback from a public toilet, I would freak the fuck out. I mean, let alone having my balls fall into it or accidentally touch the seat with your dick or something like that. Oh, God. I'm like, I've got to cut everything off now and start from scratch.
Scorched earth policy.
You know what I'm saying? Truck, I'm like, you can't get this clean enough now. It's done.
Yeah,
no matter how many places I've stuck my dick that was, you know, dirty, it was never as bad as this.
This is going to sound terrible and morbid and horrible, but it's absolutely true. As I get older, I start thinking more and more, I wish I could just, you know, check in my spine and get a new one. Like, is there any way I can do that? You know? Yeah, it's like, can I just get this replaced? You know, like, I'm pretty sure it's out of warranty, but I'll pay out of pocket. I don't care. Just hook me up. I need a new spot.
I'd have to go with a whole bunch of my joints and everything too. Oh, yeah. While we're at it, my knees, my ankles, my hips. Yeah, everything pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, pretty
especially
much
on
the whole
day
package.
Like today.
Pretty much, just start me over with an 18-year-old's body. But the head I've got now, in a fresh, clean brain that's not all fucking beaten by 20 fucking plus years of constant stress.
I would think, you know, one where you kind of can section it off and remember everything that you know now and then, you know, start over with a whole, but with memories, you know, being able to start over, but remember the thing so you don't fuck it up next time.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of starting over with an 18-year-old body, though, that reminds me of a story about a garden hose, an 18-year-old body, and a trip to the shore. But that's a story for another time.
If you want to get us online for the last time, goddammit, it's it's dembeans.biz, DEMBEA. No. No, that's not how Dem Beans is spelled. DemBeans.biz. There's links to our social media, links to our various ways that you can listen to the show online, as well as various sort of little oddities and extras that we like to add in following each episode, you know. Like tonight, for example, with us talking about the Big Daddy video. So we'll have that linked on there.
It is a treat to behold.
It really is. Let's see. I guess that's it. Next episode is Big 4-0. So that's going to be fun. I don't think we're doing anything special, but it's just interesting that we're hitting number 40.
And just in case you forgot, I don't think you mentioned it. If you want to get a hold of us, it's storytimewithtomandmike@gmail.com.
Thank you for catching that. I did miss that.
I missed something.
Yes.
I'm not going to spell it out for you. If you can't spell storytimewithtomandmike@gmail.com, I don't know how you found us in the first place.
Thanks for listening to Storytime with Tom and Mike. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
Giving it to you like a lush, supple 18-year-old body. Goodbye.
Wow, that was creepy.
Yes, it was.